Have you ever wondered what moon dust smells like? How about the cannon fire that Civil War soldiers smelled? How about the smell of the inside of your own body? Those are just a few of the questions our next guest tackles in her new book, along with how smell works, why it's such a powerful sense, and how you can sharpen your own sense of smell. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a smell that's really distinctive to you, for better or worse? One that always brings you back to a memory of your past, maybe, or reminds you of a specific place? Do you have a favorite smell or one you can't stand? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Jude Stewart is a journalist and the author of multiple books. Her latest is Revelations in Air, a guidebook to smell. Jude, welcome back to Central Time.
Oh, thanks for having me, Rob. It's great to be here.
Well, in the past, I think I've talked to you about color and design. What got you into smell?
Oh, good question. Yeah, I have written, my previous two books are about graphic design and sort of visual culture. I always kind of thought of myself as an images person. But they weren't quite doing it for me. And I don't know if I even could have articulated that feeling that images weren't quite enough until I happened to go to an art exhibit that was organized around smell. And it was so exhilarating and kind of like upsetting and all these feelings all at once. And I just thought, wow, this is everywhere and I've not been paying attention to it. And I don't understand what's happening to me. So I, fell down the rabbit hole of researching that and came up with this book.
All right, give us the basics. And it's complicated, but give us the basics of what happens when I smell, I don't know, anything.
Sure. So the process of smelling biologically is called olfaction. And really what it is airborne molecules of the thing that you're smelling travel up your nose, and they go all the way up to that place where if you wear glasses, your glasses would rest on the top of your nose. And there is a thing called the olfactory epithelium. And inside of that are these little neurons that go down, and they're called olfactory receptors. So the smelly molecule will bind with a receptor, and we think it's sort of like a key fitting a lock, but it is really fundamentally a mystery that scientists don't yet understand. And then it sends a little pulse up to your olfactory bulbs, which is basically the closest part of your brain to reaching the outside world. And that's basically what happens.
And there's a lot of our brain that's devoted to sorting out smells, right? Which I did not know until I read your book.
Yeah, it is a little crazy. And it's interesting. So just to continue that journey kind of deeper into the brain, I mentioned that I couldn't put words a lot of times to the way I felt about the smells that I was experiencing this exhibit. And there's a reason for that. That's actually called by scientists olfactory verbal gap. The reason is in your brain. So smell is different from your other senses in that it kind of bypasses the new part of your brain, the frontal lobe and the higher order processing that does verbalizing and stuff. Instead, it's plugged into the older part of your brain. It's specifically, it's a lot entangled with your amygdala, which has to do with your emotions, and also your hippocampus, which has to do with memory. So there's a reason why memory and emotion come back so vividly with smell.
And that reminds me of something that's really kind of mind-blowing to me. You write that, at least there's a theory that our whole sense of emotions might have evolved on the machinery that we had for, and still have, that we have for smell.
Yeah, right. Getting to your point about why so much of our brain might be devoted to this. Animals use smells for all kinds of things, to navigate, to evaluate who they're dealing with, whether or not this is a threat or somebody they might want to mate with, and all these different things. And so many of the signals that we do, and we think about us navigating as humans through the world, emotions and understanding emotional cues is very important. So there is actually a theory out there that, what we used to do with smell evolutionarily way back in the past to navigate the world, we now do with emotion and social cues.
Talking to Jude Stewart about her new book, Revelations in Air, a guidebook to smell. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Julie is with us in Wales. Julie, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about?
Okay, so this was really interesting. I didn't know I was pregnant the first time, and my sense of smell, I noticed it right away. I was like, wow, I had no idea I was pregnant yet. And I was like, I can really like smell a lot of things. And then the second time I was pregnant, I was like, I got to be pregnant because my sense of smell is like off the charts. So is there some kind of connection between smell and being pregnant?
Ooh. Oh, that's a great question, Julian. I'm really envious. I hope it was a pleasant experience for you rather than the opposite. Yeah, there is a connection. And I personally, when I was pregnant, really kind of secretly hoped to be a super smeller and was not. I really had one moment where I was very hungry in a restaurant and I smelled the steak that was arriving all the way across the room. And I thought, oh, that's my steak. And indeed it was. I can't tell you off the bat why that's the case, but it is an observed phenomenon. It's something I'm going to look into more because I've been talking about it with friends more and more.
Julie, thanks for that call. We're talking to author Jude Stewart. Her new book is Revelations in Air, a guidebook to smell. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a question about smells, why things smell the way they do, and experience a favorite smell. Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Jude Stewart about her new book, Revelations in Air, a guidebook to smell. Let's go back to your calls at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, great topic. When I was a kid, my grandpa would take me to the farm and we would cut the grass. And I remember smelling all the wildflowers and the smell of the grass. We'd walk through the forest to the beaver dam and I could smell the trees and the pines. And we'd get home, and Grandma would be cooking supper, and the food. I remember the smells. It was fantastic. So what I wonder is, over time, am I losing a capacity to smell, or are food additives and pollution affecting my ability to smell what I used to smell when I was a kid?
Jeff, thanks for the call, and thanks. You painted a great smellscape there, actually. Jude, what do you think? Do we get worse at smelling over time? Is there something about pollution or anything like that changing our smellscape?
Well, the answer has kind of two layers. First off, I love the smellscape. I was just going to say that same thing. And in fact, it feels so vivid because I think it's traveling through your memory. It's a very early memory. And you know, you're bringing that back. It sounds like you repeated that ritual year after year, Jeff. So, you know, no doubt it's a bit colored and pumped up by your memory. But it's true that as we get older in general, our sense of smell does decline a little bit. But fear not, because it also is something that we can build back up. And moreover, really just paying attention to anything is going to make you better at it. It's smelling is a skill like anything else. So, you know, anybody who feels like they're smelling less than they were when they were a child and would like to change that, I mean, I'm hoping that the book will help with that. I have a couple of fun exercises throughout the book that enable you to kind of practice and get better.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Okay, Jude, I think of myself as having a pretty good sense of smell, and I have no way to back up that statement at all. But you just mentioned you have those exercises to where anybody can improve their sense of smell. Could you give us an easy one? We could try at home maybe tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think of two quick ones. So one, I would start a little smell journal when I started out working on this book, and it was really simple. It was on my phone, and I just jotted down whenever I noticed a smell and, you know, kind of pushed myself a little bit to articulate what that smell was other than, you know, identifying it. And what was nice about that is it was simple, and it got me noticing smells in general. I always noticed more just so I could have one for the day. And the other funny thing about that was the journal became this kind of beautifully evocative thing. Like I could remember what else happened that day because it was the day I smelled the lilacs coming out in Chicago or whatever it was. So that's one exercise. And then another one you could just do tonight if you happen to cook a lot as I do. I have a lot of different vinegars in my house. And so you can just pour out all the different vinegars you have into small bowls and smell them. And at first they all smell like vinegar, but then really quickly you start to notice the differences. And it's pretty easy to, you know, tell the difference between balsamic or rice wine or champagne vinegar or whatever it is. And so that gives you like a sense of confidence about, oh, okay, I can actually sort of discern more than I realize. And it's just a fun exercise with friends.
We heard from Tim on the Ideas Network Facebook page, who says a favorite smell is the smell of a new book. And I'll admit, Jude, people send us books here because we're a radio station that talks about books. And pre-COVID, we'd have these books that smelled really good, and we'd pass them around. Now, you have a chapter not on new books, but on what defines the smell of old books. What goes into that smell?
Right. Yeah. Well, I love the smell of a new book too. But yeah, old books, I think, have a really distinctive smell. And I was kind of curious to look into that when you think about going into like a used bookstore and that wall of smell will hit you. And I was surprised to discover that there is a definite period of time where the paper stock that was used in books changed a lot. And it coincided with when we moved to acid-free paper. So I think it was in the 70s, I believe. And acid-free paper is good in the sense that it keeps books from degrading. So newer books are less smelly, but that's a good thing. But the older books, what we're smelling is that sense of decomposition that's happening with the older paper. So it's a beautiful smell. It's a decaying smell. You know, it speaks to a lot of things. And it, for me, evokes a lot of emotions.
One thing I loved in the book, you know, when we go to the movies or on TV, they can do things with our sense of vision and our sense of sound. There have been failed efforts to have some kind of smell component to the movie or TV experience. Could you talk about why they failed?
Oh, yeah. So that was actually a sort of a thing that got me into this project, this book project, was looking into the so-called smell-o-vision concepts. Like one technology after another would roll out over the course of the 20th century. And the idea was always like, you'll watch the movie and then you'll smell the roses that you see on the screen and it will draw you into the romance or whatever it was. And they all were kind of train wrecks. And partly some of them were technological, you know, problems. But you know, it's interesting to kind of figure out why that would be. Like the smells would layer up on themselves and sort of eventually become very weird smelling in the room. But it was kind of interesting to notice the reactions of the audience, that they would come and they buy tickets and go want to come see some movie with smell-o-vision and then be sort of weirdly, smugly happy when it didn't work out. And I found that kind of interesting. So I was curious, like, why didn't it work out? And then also, why is it that we hold ourselves a little bit aloof from smell, like we're a little worried about it penetrating us too intimately. So that awkwardness was interesting to me too, that resistance.
Now, you look at the impacts that smells have on us, and I think a lot of people these days might want something that helps us calm down and relax. Among the smells you dug deeper into, what are the ones that seem to have the best chill out effect?
Oh, great question. Lavender by far. Yeah, that chapter has a lot to do with the aromatherapy movement. And there's some interesting clinical studies that support the claims of aromatherapy around lavender. So lavender, you might have noticed, is in all kinds of bath products and beauty products and things. And it's an interesting smell to just contemplate on its own because it has this kind of bright and kind of cold and floral, but edged with cold feeling. And so when you actually sit down and smell it, you feel kind of braced. And it's kind of not the way I remembered it when I was thinking about bath bombs with lavender or whatever in them. So it was interesting in and of itself to contemplate, but definitely lavender would be the one.
All right, I'm going to ask you, I'll say mine first. Do you have a smell that you like, but it's weird you like it? Mine was back before smoking was banned indoors, when I'd go to play a show at a bar, the smell of the stale smoke and the stale beer from the night before, it's terrible. It's a bad smell, but it said like rock music to me. And yeah. I got a lot of nostalgia for it, even though it's terrible. Do you have anything like that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Love me some stinks. That's totally true. I liked pipe tobacco, actually. A friend of mine smokes a pipe, and he got me interested in not smoking the pipe, but smelling his different tobaccos. And I was just never tired of that smell and the varieties of it. It was really quite beautiful. I also kind of took as a task trying to get to know the smell of durian, which is the super stinky fruit that comes from Southeast Asia. And people will eat it often in ice cream. So it stinks. It smells like rotting onions and feces and a lot of stuff. Yum. It's really gross smelling, but it tastes really beautiful. It has this creamy, velvety texture and sweet. And so we made a whole bunch of durian ice cream during the pandemic. I live here in Chicago and we could get durian down the street. And so I made my family eat it and eventually we all liked it.
I love it. Jude, thanks for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks, Rob. It was a pleasure. And don't forget to donate, everybody.
Thanks. That's Jude Stewart. She's a journalist who writes about design and the author of multiple books. Her latest is Revelations in Air, a guidebook to smell.